Now to deliver the words of exhortation, my pleasure to call upon him, Brother Matt.
Well, thanks, Brother Jamie, and good evening, brothers and sisters and friends. Good evening, good morning. Yeah. Evening somewhere, good. Well, I'll be saying good morning this evening to Brother Josh there. So it always amazes me, even though Jamie had no idea what our theme for this morning was, that some of his comments in his opening remarks and in his prayer were just bang on point with the theme. And so this morning, I'd just like to start in the Gospel of Mark, and perhaps you'll remember this occasion, as it is very important in the life of Jesus and in his teachings, that in Mark 12, he begins with giving a parable about the vineyard and the wicked husbandman, and then he moves into this time where he's questioned by the Pharisees on the question of paying taxes. Then he's questioned on the topic of the resurrection by the Sadducees, and then he is approached by this certain scribe who has a question for our Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's turn to verse 28 there of Mark chapter 12 and read about that scribe's question about what is the first commandment. So verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said unto him, 'Well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he, and to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, 'Thou art not far from the kingdom of God.' And no man after that durst ask him any question." And so hold that great command of Jesus and the instruction to love God with all the heart, the soul, the mind, and the strength in your minds as we come over to Psalm 119, which we had the first part of read this morning. But especially the part about the heart. In Psalm 119, heart, and specifically the whole heart, comes up a number of times. And we've read already the first 40 verses. It comes up in verse 2, verse 7, verse 10, verse 11, verse 32, verse 34, verse 36. But then it also comes up in verse 58, "I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word." It comes up again in verse 69, "The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart." In verse 70, "Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law." And verse 80, "Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed." In verse 111, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. And the next verse, I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. And verse 145, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. And then one final time in 161, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. And so how are we doing with devoting our whole heart to God? It's particularly difficult to fix the whole heart on God when we might be feeling unmotivated, depressed, unexcited about the work and the truth, the work in the ecclesia, or stressed out about a whole host of other things. But truly, we have everything to be thankful for, and of all people to be excited for what God has done for our salvation and what he has promised for the future. But what do we do when we've lost some of that excitement or zeal or spark for the good work and the good news? What do we do when we feel that our hearts might have become divided or our intentions and focus are pulling in multiple directions? The example of Paul in the letter to the Corinthians and elsewhere, he always seems so energetic, so zealous, so committed to the work at hand, even with that thorn in the flesh, as styled in 2 Corinthians 12, which we had read as well. At least that's how I think of Paul, the Apostle Paul's outlook on life and being on fire for the work of the truth. The word needs to be imprinted on our hearts and in our minds. It needs to become part of us. And back a few chapters in 2 Corinthians from where we were in 12, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. How is this renewal happening, if not by the consuming and the ruminating upon the work of God, the word of God, of taking it to heart? Emphasizing again how this internal process of taking in the word of God needs to happen on a daily basis to best have it imprinted in our hearts and be able to recall it and respond to all manner of situations, to temptations, to stress, to lack of motivation, to negative feelings, to idleness, to opposition, all from a mindset that is grounded in godly principles, that is focused on his word, focused singularly on his word with singleness of heart. It's the method by which he speaks to us through his word. And so recall again where we started there in Mark chapter 12 in verse 30 to 33, Jesus' answer to the scribe and the scribe's response to Jesus. The whole heart. In his response, the scribe was deemed by Jesus to be not far from the kingdom. So therefore, love the Lord thy God with all your heart. What type of heart? Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. God promises and prophesies in Ezekiel 36 that he will put a new heart into Israel. And we know that he will put new hearts into spiritual Israel. All your soul, what type of soul? Jesus says to his disciples, whoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. From Matthew 16:25. Love the Lord your God with all your mind. What mind? A Christ-like mindset. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Paul's encouragement from Philippians 2:5. Love God with all your strength. What strength? As we read today, not our natural strength, but the spiritual which God supplies. When I am weak, then I am strong. From 2 Corinthians 12. So these aspects of this greatest of commandments are cited from and carefully added to by Jesus from Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4 and 5. And let's go back there momentarily. Jesus quoting from and carefully adding to this command from Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. All thine heart, all thy soul, all thy might. And it may not surprise you to know that that word all is the same Hebrew word that we found so many times in Psalm 119 for the whole heart. The psalmist, I think, is here drawing on the completeness. The psalmist in 119 is drawing on the completeness, the entirety of devotion commanded in Deuteronomy. The all-encompassing love and commitment the believer should have for the Father and Creator. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Extremely important for us to remember that our Heavenly Father is one. He is singular, and He requires and desires to see a singular purpose and mindset and love in reciprocation from us. And how do we show this love? Well, we don't have to wait until halfway through the Bible. We don't have to wait until the New Testament. It's right there for the children of Israel, and it's right there for us in the next few verses of Deuteronomy 6. Reading from verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates, and it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So have these words in your heart. Teach the children, discuss the word at home when walking down the street, thinking about the word when you're alone lying down with just your own thoughts. When we're up and about and interacting with others, the word is to be bound to the hand, figuratively to the works that our hands are busy with. What are we building? Bound to the head, figuratively, internalized to the mind so we're thinking good things. Written in the house and at the entrance gates, so people know who we are and whom we serve. And when the children of Israel were brought to the promised land, the word was to be close and familiar that they might not forget who brought them there and provided all those nice and necessary provisions of life. We often go to King David as an example when talking about the dedication of one's heart, but consider the example of King Josiah and his response and action when the book of the law was found, and how vitally important it was to have those words read. And you might have that reference in your margin next to Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. To see 2 Kings 23:25 about King Josiah, that it says there about him, "And like unto him there was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him." And so it is extremely high praise for this man, this king of Israel, who exceeded in this aspect of devotion of the heart, even more than King David, who we're told was a man after God's own heart. Let's come over to 2 Corinthians then, as we try to join these pieces together from Mark 12, from Psalm 119, from Deuteronomy 6. Second Corinthians 12 and 13. And actually 13 and verse 11 says there near the end, "Finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." And Paul, in his closing words of encouragement to the Corinthian brothers and sisters, mentions four specific things that I think we could connect with the four parts of this greatest commandment of Christ from Mark 12. Firstly, be perfect, be complete, connecting to love with all your heart. The word perfect here in the King James means to be complete or whole, as in singular, and is translated similarly in other versions. And as we've considered from the Psalms and elsewhere, God examines our hearts and desires to see a singular and undivided core of motivation. Secondly, Paul says, be of good comfort. We might connect that to love with all your soul. Our Heavenly Father has made us living beings by his breath, the Spirit giving life, and he has made us to experience and feel different emotions. We seek comfort when under stress, or when in distress, or in trouble. And ultimately, we have one source of lasting comfort in our Lord, which we can share with each other. Thirdly, Paul says, be of one mind, connecting to love with all your mind. Like the reference to the heart, our Father is pleased with the spiritual mindset, one that is singular and undivided, set on his ways. And fourthly, live in peace, Paul says, connecting to love with all your strength. We could say that the epitome of strength is being able to make peace, to take stressful and heated situations and turn down the heat, bringing calm and a peaceful disposition. It's a high calling that is made of us that we should dedicate our whole selves to God, a calling that, if we're being honest, we can't achieve in these lives that we live perfectly. The amazing and wonderful piece is that the gift of salvation supersedes and is so much bigger than our failure to live out the greatest commandment. Another beautiful and crucial piece in the wisdom of this greatest of commands is that the plan and purpose of God with the earth and his creation upon it, including us failing humans, is that this all-encompassing love that we just can't seem to get right now, and sometimes we might feel so far from achieving this ideal, it's the same love and the same glorification of a godly character that he will bring about and fill this earth with. And so bound up in the command is our hope. As we remember the forerunner of our faith, our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning, and are hopefully encouraged in the calling to mind of his unwavering dedication in loving his Father and his friends with heart, soul, mind, and strength, remember what he taught them and us about focused and singular devotion in Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21, where he says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also."